earnestly covered your prayers this evening, that I'll be able to deliver the burden that the Lord has laid on my heart. My heart is on fire this evening.
Amen.
The burden is pressing hard. Feel like this would be the time that the Lord would have us to deliver these thoughts. And our prayer is not that we would get all the words right. Our prayer is not that we have some eloquent speech, but our desire is that the Spirit of the Lord would anoint His Word, that it would touch our hearts this evening, that it might have an impact where we live and the battles that we're facing, the reality of life that we must go home to. If we were able to look into every individual's personal life that came here this evening, we would find uncountable battles. We would find great baggage, if you will, things that we must deal with in life, situations that we've encountered, hurts that we've come across, and places where the enemy has been successful. And tonight our burden is that the Lord would allow His Word to come in and begin to deal in some of those places and set us free from some of those things. Our thought tonight is, by whose authority? They asked Jesus this. I'd like to define authority for a moment. Authority is the power or right to give orders, to make decisions, or enforce obedience. If you live in the United States, as I think most of us do, some of us are from a few other places, Canada and other countries, there's a rule of law that is in place, usually voted on and put in place by the people that everyone has to live by. That law is enforced and put in place, and typically there are what we call authorities that have the entitlement and the right to go in and enforce that law. And if you don't follow the law, and if you disobey it or break it, then there's the ability for them to come in and to cause penalty for the disobedience of the law. To come in and to draw recompense, and usually the penalties are drawn out. If you leave here tonight and you decide to drive 10 miles an hour over the speed limit, which you have the freedom to do, you can do it, your car will do it. But if a police officer catches you, an authority, if you will, he can write you a citation and a penalty for exceeding the posted speed limit. And you're guilty of that. You must pay it. You're beholden to the penalty that is given. The law is in place for that reason. But I'd like to talk tonight about a higher authority, a higher law, a higher validity of something that we can get a hold of that transcends all the power that we might come in contact in this world. It goes above and beyond the rule of law that exists in the U.S., above the rule of law that exists in other countries or in any civilization of any time. But this rule of law and this authority has been established from the beginning of time. You remember when in Genesis it says that God's Spirit moved upon the void and the darkness, and He began to speak. He said, "Let there be light." Began to give the "let there be's," if you will, and throughout that first few chapters, He began to create something. And all it took was the order of His voice to go forward, and it took effect. Yeah. There wasn't anything that could stop that from happening. Authority, you see, there was no way for anything to come in and undermine the Word of God. And if we look around today, we still see the authority of what God put in place. These wood beams are made of a certain texture. The authority of those wood beams to hold this building up comes by the order of God as He created trees and their density and their ability to withstand weight and to create a support structure. It comes from God. The authority of it comes from Him. No man can undermine it. You can't go in and say, "Well, now this is going to be weak wood, and now water is strong." It's established and put in place by the Word of God, and it'll stand until He ends it. There are people that say that it's possible that the end of the world could come by our own hand, that there's some way that we could bring the end of the world about. But my belief is that because it stands upon the authority of God, that it'll take Him allowing it to end it by His word of authority. No man can destroy the world until God says it's time and says it's over and it's done. His authority is unquestioned. It stood through all of time and it'll stand through all of eternity. It's why we can labor in this life and look towards the things that are going to come and know with assurance that it's going to be there when we get there. When He gives us a promise, when He gives us something to hold on to in this world, we know for a certainty that if it's in place by God's word and by His spoken word or His written one, then it's unquestioned. Men can come and go. They can make up their different inventions. They can do their archaeological digs. They can do all that they want. But it does nothing to undermine the power of God and the authority of His word. When He puts it in place, there's nothing that can change it. It's unchanging. We sing the song about the unchanging word of God. It's established. It's concrete. It's solid. It means as we live this life and we face the situations that we do, there is something solid that you can stand on. There is something that you can build your life on that cannot change regardless of how people and situations and circumstances change. The Word of God will stand true throughout. When you take the tenets of what He put in place and you put them in your life, it's established. It's truth. It cannot change. In the old, there's different places in the New Testament especially. We'll talk about that for a moment. Where God, and when Jesus was teaching, He gave a blessing in certain areas. We call it where the blessing is. And He says, if you'll follow these things, blessed is the man and so forth. These blessings extend to all creation. Even if you're not in the blood, even if you're not following Christ, if you live a life that is morally right, there is a blessing that comes from that. There is something of stability. A home can be not based on the scripture, but if it's morally right, there's more stability in that home than one that has taken all the teachings of God and thrown them out. There's a blessing in God's word. And when you begin to get a hold of it and put it in place in your life, it's why especially if you decide that Christianity isn't for you at this time, or you turn your back or move on, don't move too far from the teachings that you know are true. There's stability in those things. There's ability to come back. There's things that you can stand on in those places. But if you take it and throw it out, you're under the authority of something else entirely. Now, as He spoke this into creation, there are a couple examples that we have throughout the Old Testament. The worst one I thought of was Moses. Do you remember when Moses wasn't sure who to say who sent him to Pharaoh? Do you remember what God's response was? He said, the I am. The establishment. There's no higher name. There's no greater authority to bring to Pharaoh, but the I am sent me. The very God of heaven. The very Creator is the one that has commissioned me to come and to say, deliver my people. There's no greater testament. There's no greater establishment. And as we begin to face these things in our life that we must, and inevitably we're going to face difficult situations, there's only one name that is going to allow us to have the authority to be able to stand and face the struggles that we're going to face. And no doubt already are facing. For Moses, it was the I am. The one that he could stand on. In different places, especially in his life. You remember when he would cast his stick down upon the ground. And the other magicians did it also. They had a power there. But the stick that came from Moses turned and ate the other snakes. A more powerful name. Something that is above what exists around it. In every example or testimony that you read in the Old Testament, men may have failed. Others may have turned their other way, but the Word of God stood true throughout. It was unquestioned. It was established. If He put it in place, there was no way to change it. Think of Abraham and the promise that God gave him. That his seed would be as the sands of the sea. That there would be something extended to him that would last for all time. This promise was given and it's gone out and it cannot return to him void. The truth of it, the authority of it, the validity of it is unchanged. Even in Noah, when Noah was there and was trying to preach righteousness, God came down and gave him a burden, began to tell him, it's going to rain. There's going to be a flood come. There's something that I need you to do in this place. That authority, the law of that, the validity of it did not change regardless of the wagging heads. Regardless of those that shook their head and went the other way, it didn't change what God had established and what He had said. He put it in place. It didn't matter how smart the they had engineers in that day. They had educated men. They had men who had seen things. They had aged men that had been around. If anything, their word was, there's never even been drops of rain from the sky. This man's crazy. But the word of God had spoken it. had put it in place. And there was nothing that could come to undermine and destroy that. In order for us to begin to get a hold of the thought of authority that Christ has and our ability to live this life in victory, we must get a hold of the authority of God that has existed from the very beginning of time. Unquestioned and undoubted. In the things that you face, let one thing remain sure. The scripture says, let God be true. Let this one thing remain in your mind, that it's impossible for God to lie. That His truth is established. That His authority is in place. And if He says He's going to bless your life, if He says that He's going to winnow the way before you, if He says He's going to hold your hand through the valley of the shadow of death, then His word cannot return to Him void. It's as very real as the trees that exist, because He spoke those into existence also. The enemy will come. He's deceitful, as we heard last night about the snare of sin. He has such a sweet line sometimes, but never let it be questioned, the authority that God has. In all of your life, in everything that you face, in every decision that you make, understand and know that His authority is unquestioned, that His word will stand true. You can run, you can make whatever choices you want, however you decide to go about it, know for a fact that God's word is established. Unchanging and true, you can stand upon it. You can build a life upon it. You can build a family upon it. Generations can be built upon it. It's the truth that'll stand for all ages. Now, we think of the old covenant. There was a blessing that God pronounced upon the children of Israel. He said, if you'll be my people, I'll be your God. I'll bless you. I'll look out for you. He laid out all the instructions of what they needed to follow. And in return, He would be their God and bless them. He would win their battles. He would take them to a promised land. He would meet and exceed every expectation that they had if they met the requirement of what He placed forward. And if they didn't, then there was a curse, and there would be someone that He had wrath against and judgment against the choices that they made. His word went forth and established it, and He had to live by it. He can't go back on it. This old covenant was in place. And because of that, as sin came into place and man fell from God, there was an authority that comes in that he has to live by, even by his own word. If he says that I can't bless this place if you turn from me, he can't go back on himself. He's established it. He's put it in place. It's settled. It cannot be changed. But we find then that a more perfect law was established. And my burden is tonight is the authority of Christ in our life. My burden is that we get a hold of the security and the truth of the ability of Christ to come in and to meet and exceed every need that we have. The old covenant was, if you'll do, I'll extend my blessing to you. But you know the same concept applies to us today. That when you give your life to God and you turn yourself over to Him completely, and He becomes your God, that the blessing that He says He'll pour out is established, and He has the authority to bring it about, that there isn't any that can stand in His way. The enemy likes to point at things. He likes to point at difficulties and struggles. But the reality is tonight is that God is bigger than all those things. His ability exceeds. His power exceeds. When you have a country, you think of some of these war-torn places that are in place. You have governments that are established with the rule of law. But their authority is only as strong as the power of their army. Because when another army comes in and takes over, the ruler of that army now has authority over those people. And he's only as strong until the next army comes along that's got more advanced weapons and destroys them and takes over again. It's been the cycle of humanity for many years. But when it comes to the spiritual world, there is no power that is greater. There's no army that is going to come and overthrow. There isn't anything that's going to undermine this power and this authority. It's something you can stand on. In a world where everything's changing, the authority of God is unchallenged and unquestioned. Think of here in Isaiah in the 9th chapter. You pray for us. The Lord will enable us to deliver this burden. God is able tonight. Well capable. Isaiah in the 9th chapter, I'd like to read here in the 6th verse. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it, with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The authority of God that came with Christ. One of these titles says Prince of Peace. Do you know the only way for there to be peace is for conflict to cease? You see these bumper stickers that says peace on earth or peace in the world. The only peace comes from Christ. He's the Prince of it. He's the only one with the authority to meet every conflict and come out victorious. There is no other warrior. There is no other soldier. There is no other source. It's why he's the Prince of Peace. He brings with him the calmness and the quietness that the battle's over, that the battle's won, that there isn't any form or foe that can be established that will challenge his position as ruler and as king. It's been given to him. Upon his government or of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. This kingdom that we're a part of, they asked Jesus by whose authority. This kingdom that he brought, whose authority do you bring this in? When we say that we live for God, by whose authority do we go out and say, I can face the struggles that I face, but with victory? By what authority can you say that regardless of what comes, I'm going to be okay? By what authority can you say that? By what authority can you say that despite what happens to my family or my children or my wife or my home or anything that I know in this world that I have peace in my heart? What authority can you say that by? There's only one. There's only one power that is strong enough to deliver that kind of declaration. It's the Prince of Peace. Upon his shoulders is the government. He's the ruler of it, the head of it. All things flow under him. I thought of the scripture that talks about the throne that is in heaven. The Father sitting upon the throne and the river that flows out of it. That throne is established even today. And it will be established until for all eternity for that matter. It cannot be fought against. It cannot be torn down. There isn't anything that we can face in life that's going to challenge the power of the one that sits on that throne. The enemy, he shakes his chains, he shakes his bonds and the things that he carries around. But I tell you tonight, by the power of God, that his chains have no power. They have no weight. They have no strength. When Samson was obeying God, he had the ability to break every bond. And in the same sense, when we trust God with our life and put ourselves in his hands, there isn't any bondage that he can bind you with. What has the enemy lied to you about tonight? What has he come and told you that he can hold on you? Has he told you that you're in despair, that you can't fight it? Has he brought depression in your life and said, oh, you're just going to have to contend with this? Oh, I've fought it for years and it's just here. I tell you tonight, by the power of God, by his authority that those things are broken, that you can claim the victory in him and live a life that is full of all that he has for us. He's brought the peace. He's brought the comfort. He's brought the encouragement. The battle has been won. We just have to enter into it. It's upon his shoulders. There isn't any that can defeat it or dissuade it. The enemy will bring thoughts or problems of this thing over here or look at that over here. Get your eyes off of those things and look at the Prince of Peace. See the one that is in control. The one that is able and very capable to take me from this point I am in my life until the very end, despite what I may face. Others have trod this way. We've heard their testimony. You go to a funeral of someone who has lived for God. It's a beautiful sight to hear the testimony of what God has done in the different situations and things that they faced. It's the same authority. It's the same power then as we live, as we enter into that. We all have our things that we have to go through. We all have our backgrounds. We all have our personalities and our parents and our grandparents and the bloodlines that flow through us. But they don't have more authority than the power of God to come in and to create a holy and a new life within each and every one of us. There isn't anything that you could come up and put on this board and say, oh, wait, maybe it's a little bit bigger than God. There isn't anything that can challenge his authority. It's no wonder then, that as Jesus came into Jerusalem and they cried, Hosanna, he said, if they didn't say this, the very stones themselves would cry out. because of the authority of the Son of God that had come to establish this kingdom. The very creation that he created would have had to declare it. It says the Son of God, Hosanna, glory, this is power that you see here. All of the balance, all of the people that were around there living in the place of darkness and bondage. And here was the answer. Here was the breaking power. Here was the one that could bring the fulfillment of all that they had hoped for. The Jews had sought for that day. They had looked for the day that the Messiah would come, the Savior with power to establish his kingdom. And here it was. If the people hadn't cried out, the very creation would have began to declare it. And now we live here in 2011, and I declare to you the same authority. In the face of technology, in the face of all the things that are against our families, against all the things that are against us on a daily walk and life and work and all the things that are around us, the authority still exists. You can still live a life that is pure and right by his power. It's been established. It'll last through all of time. There isn't a time when his authority is diminished that he's not able to extend it to every believing and honest heart that'll fit into that. The enemy tonight would point to your problems. The enemy tonight would point to the continual failures and say, this isn't for you. He'll say, look, you've tried this before and it didn't work out. By what authority does he declare that? What authority does he stand on tonight? That voice in your ear as he whispers and he begins to tell you lies, ask him what authority he stands on. What has he ever done to say that he's able to do that? What I see is a testimony of others that have accomplished and won the battle, not by themselves, but by the power of another. And that power exists today. Why does it say resist him in the name of Jesus? Because by that authority, he has to run. He has to flee. In all of the things that we face, he has no quarter. He has no place. Tonight, I would tell you, and we can write me on the board if we want, but this message is to you. To you. If I could sit down individually, I'd preach this message just like it is. It's to everyone. It's to every individual. And begin to look for a moment and allow the Spirit of God to begin to anoint and show us those places where he can bring greater authority in our life. You see, who gets in the way is us. It's myself. It's the flesh. It's when I begin to allow myself to get in the way of where he's wanting to work. I can stop him. He has great authority, and in a way you could say I don't have more authority, but I can stop him if I want. He'll not force it. He's not that kind of ruler or dictator. He's not going to come and say, by my authority I died for your sins, now you must be mine. But he extends it. And he says, if you'll enter into my kingdom, all this is yours, and by my authority I'll protect this area. If you'll live in this area, all this is yours, and there's not any that can take it from me. We think of the scripture that says that no man can pluck out of the hand of God. There isn't any power. There isn't any might. There isn't any darkness. There isn't any spirit. There isn't any level of addiction that can overthrow the authority of Christ. When he comes in and touches, it breaks the power. It allows and gives a victory that's not attainable any other way. There's no substitute. There's nothing that we can put in the place of that. There's nothing that we can establish and put here and say, by this authority, we forgive sins. Or by this authority, we break the power. But it's by the authority of Christ and him alone, his ability to come in and make the changes. This King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. One scripture talks about, well, let's go ahead and turn it in John in the first chapter. First chapter in the first verse here, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same is the beginning with God, and all things are made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. This very Word, all the things that Jesus spoke, we have recorded. There is an authority that comes with that. When we begin to read, and most of your Bibles have it written in red, but you can take all of the scripture, but it bears an authority with it. It bears an impact that is reliable. When it says that a soft answer turneth away wrath, This is by the authority of God. When it says, blessed are the meek, or blessed are the poor in spirit, it's by the word of God that this is established, because he spoke it. So by his authority then, those truths will stand for all of time. They'll stand for every situation. They'll stand for every occasion, every circumstance, every history, everything that we face. The authority of this is unchallenged and unchanged. You can take the truth that's in his word and apply it to every situation that you get into, and the authority of it will be there. It's established. It means that despite what I might face or what I encounter, I can stand upon his word. It's been established from the beginning. This light shines forward and the darkness must recede. It must go from it. The light has authority over darkness. If you come in this place and you turn out all the lights and it's pitch black, it'll get totally dark and you can't see your hand in front of your face. But if you apply the power to the light bulb, it has authority over darkness. The darkness has to spread. It has to go. It's the same with the light that comes with Christ. When he comes in and we allow him to work, the authority that he brings forces the darkness that is there. It has to go. It's unable to abide in the face of Christ. It's unable to abide in his strength and his power. It's overcome. We stand upon this tonight. We cannot face this world. We cannot face the enemy of our souls by any other power. There isn't any other name that you can name and face Satan and say, flee in that name. It's only in the name of Christ. And it's only in his power that as I begin to face the things that are going to come, it doesn't matter how long you've been in sin and how the enemy has snared you, as we've heard about, as he's so capable of doing. When we name the name of Christ and turn our heart to him, there's no power that is able to hold us there. There's no strength that can withstand it. He's won the battle. He has full authority and right. There isn't any that can stand in his face and defy him. And as we begin to live in his name, fighting the demons and the things that exist around us, as we begin to take this gospel, and we've heard so much about, we heard about how the heathen rage in different places in this meeting, about the need for the gospel to go forward, you're going to face some things. You're going to encounter some dark places. You're going to encounter some powerful spirits. And the only name that's going to give you the power to withstand and to overcome those things is the name of Christ. It's the only thing you can take to those battles. It's the only name that has the ability to make the enemy flee. I could come and stay in the name of Ken and he'll just laugh at me. Yeah, who are you? You're nothing. You have no power. You remember when I think they were Jews that were going around trying to do exorcisms. And they went and the demon told them, I know Jesus. I know Paul. Who are you? Who are you that would come and do this to me? There isn't any other name or power that we can take in these battles and these fights. It's only in the name of Jesus. And he's capable. He's able. He's able to take every aspect of your life and touch it with his power. There isn't a territory that he's unable to touch. There isn't a hurt or a weakness that he's not able to come in and put his hand in and empower you in those places. He may not remove the weakness, but he's going to empower you to still have the victory in those places. He still has the authority to give you the power to stand. One scripture talks about our strength is made perfect in weakness. It's because we realize we need him. If we were able to get saved and we get full of his spirit and then it's just a cakewalk, where do we learn the reliance from? We begin to realize it when we begin to realize things are bigger than we are. And some of the things even in here, in fact, a lot of the things, if not all of the things in here are bigger than I am. I can't face him in my own strength. I can't face him in my own wisdom. I need the power and the authority. When Jesus came and began to heal the sick, began to forgive sins, that was their response. But whose authority? Who do you think you are coming and bringing this? Who empowered you? In fact, in one place it said, isn't this the son of Joseph? Who does this man think he is? Jesus didn't answer their question directly, but he answered it in other places. In other places he said, I am the Christ. There's one place where Peter saw it. Spirit of the Lord revealed it to him, whose authority Jesus stood in. I'd like to read you a scripture here in Isaiah in the 61st chapter. starting in the first verse here. This was the prophecy of Christ to come, and he read this scripture also. But it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." There's no greater inspiration of hope than what comes from this passage of Scripture. Have you ever been wounded? Have you been broken? Maybe tonight even. There's things that have come in and wounded and broken. In a natural sense, and people in a natural sense, if they're sick or they're hurting, they'll go to a doctor. Because in their mind, he has an authority to fix things. But the reality of this tonight is that when it comes to the brokenheartedness, when it comes to the places that aren't right, that aren't matching up, for whatever reason, from abuses, from struggles, from things that we've gone through, there's things that are broken to heal and bind the brokenhearted. He has the authority to do it. When he says that place is healed, it's healed. He has the power to put it in place. There isn't any other place you can find that. You can read books and listen to songs and you can drown your sorrows, but it doesn't have the authority to heal the brokenness. But God is able to come in and restore. And not just patch it up, but to make it like new. To make the blood flow through, to remove the scar tissue and the hardness. And make it soft and tender and fill it up again and make it like it never happened. True healing. He has the authority to put it in place. Are you hurting? Have you met some things? We all have. By the authority of Christ, he is able to come in. He's not, when it comes to these things in our spiritual sense and these places where we live, it's not God's desire that we live in a sickly state. In a place where we're unable to live above and live to the fullness of what he has. His desire is to provide it to us tonight. And it's by his authority that he can do it. There isn't anything except yourself and the enemy that can stop you. If you allow him from coming and receiving that touch from God. He'll bring up all this and that. And what's this over here? And what if they say, come and get a hold of the one who has authority over those places. To set at liberty. The captives. I've never been in prison, but I know about it, I guess. We all do. The power of the bars. When you're in jail, you cannot get out. You don't have the power. You're not strong enough. The steel is stronger than your strength, and you're not able to pick the lock. You're captive. You can't escape it. You can't leave it. When it comes to the things that would bind, would put people in jail, so to speak. There is an authority and a power to set free. Yes. Free means out of the jail. Yes. Out of the bars. Yes. Left from the place where I was and on to something that is complete. Yes. The sun sets. The sunrise. Yes. You want to go to the ocean? You can go to the ocean. I'm not in jail any longer. People that are in jail, they yearn for those things that are on the outside to go experience them again. To smell the roses. To feel the sun on your face. People that are captive don't have that liberty. But when God comes in and sets us free, you can live a life of fullness. He has the authority to do it. There isn't any sin. There isn't any bond form that can hold you in that jail. There isn't any weakness. There isn't any repeated failure. And the enemy will point to those things. He'll point to the bars of them and see, really, you've put them there. You failed repeatedly, and look, you're in this prison, and there's no way out. I declare to you tonight, there is an authority that has come and delivered and allowed every single one of you to live a life of fullness, to enjoy the riches of what he has. This kingdom is great. It's powerful. It's full of all the good things that meet and administer to the inner man. Every aspect of how we're made. Do you know we're made to desire love? That we're made to desire comfort? They were made to desire peace. They were made this way. And in the kingdom of God is the satisfaction for those things. And they're established by the authority of Christ. Yes. It came in him. They came on his shoulders. And it exists today. Don't allow the enemy to come in and begin to point towards those things and those failures. Amen. Do you remember when the prophet was, I don't remember if he was on a hilltop or not, but he had his servant man with him. And they were chasing him. And he come out and he looked up, I think it was in the morning time, and the enemy had camped around him. Has the enemy pointed that out to you tonight? Has he begun to point towards the forces that are camped around you? Begin to point to this and to that, and pretty soon that's all you can see. The shininess of their swords. The wickedness of the devices. You see the ability to tear and destroy of those. Yet that servant man had to have been looking at that. Look at their strength. Look at their muscles. Look at their horses. Look at their power. It's more than we can withstand. Surely this is the end. The prophet said, Lord, open his eyes. Yes. And tonight we're inspired that Lord would open our eyes tonight. Yes. Look beyond and see the angel of the Lord that's camped about. Look beyond the problems and the things that the enemy would bring before your eyes and see the power of God. Yes. See the ability of Christ to come in and to save his people. Yes. When he said, I'll be your God and you'll be my people. He's fulfilling a commitment that he won't go back on. If you'll put your trust and your confidence, if you'll give him all that you have, he can't go back on it. Right. Oh, the enemy will point to those forces, but look beyond it. And see the deliverance. See the power that exists. And realize that, wait a minute. Those are my people around there. That's my power. That's what I'm a part of. That's my Jesus. That's my strength. Enemy, you don't have a place here. Sisters sang the song, Poor Little David. Poor little David went out there. And sometimes I think that we're defied by some giants in our life. Well, if we can put it this way, the spirit of David is here to say, who is this giant? Who is this one that would stand and defy a very child of God? What is the thing that the enemy has brought that he stands and he rattles his chains and I can't fight him today. I'm just going to go. I'm just going to try to ignore it. And if he comes at me, I know I'm not going to be able. And tomorrow it's the same way. Who is this giant that would defy the child of God? Right. Take the sling. Take the stone tonight. David didn't come in his power. He didn't come by the arm. He didn't come by the sword of Saul. But he said, in the name of my God, you've been delivered to me. And tonight, you can leave this place with some of the giants slain. They have stood morning after morning and declared their strength and their authority. Let's turn to Ephesians in the first chapter. Here in the 17th verse, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge of him to open our eyes tonight. If you're in a place of darkness, my prayer is that his spirit would enlighten your eyes for a moment. That these words might find a seed and you begin to see. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of glory of his inheritance in the saints. 19th verse says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. There's no greater power. There's no greater strength. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and have put all things under his feet and give him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. There's no greater name tonight. You're not going to fight your battles in any other name. There are folks that have gone on before us that are a testimony to us. And there are folks that have an impact on our life. And we appreciate the testimony and the faithfulness of what God has done. But I cannot fight my battles in their name. I cannot have my experience based on theirs. But I can have the reality and the truth of what they had. I can come in contact with the same authority. I can come and live a life that is full of the same benefit and riches as to what he gave to them. It says, mark them an example. There are those that we look on and we see and we appreciate the testimony. And it gives us strength and it gives us encouragement. We edify each other. But the power comes from the Son of God. Yes. Being delivered through him. mighty to usward. This says a name above every name. Let's turn to Philippians in the second chapter. In the fifth verse here, it says, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that we which have begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you of all, because I have you in my heart." Maybe this isn't the right place. I'm in the first chapter. That's why it's not making sense. Philippians in the second chapter, fifth verse. "Let this mind be in you." That sounds right. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Do you know tonight as Christ went to the cross for us, that there wasn't an authority that put him there? That there wasn't a power of darkness that overcame him? Do you know he had all authority throughout that time? That as they beat him with the whips and as he took that for our sake, he could have caused them to stop. He could have caused them to get a smaller whip or something that didn't hurt as bad. Could have said, "Oh, enough lashings is enough." What's that, brother? He let them do it. He stood there and took it. Laid his authority. It says he laid it aside. Put and allowed them to put him to the cross. Extended it to him. There wasn't anything that they could do unless he allowed them to do it. To fulfill this. What a price. And then by that same authority, he came and he took up his life again. That's right. "Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the sun, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Do you realize what he's saying? Is that every human that has ever lived will one day declare the authority of Christ. Those Pharisees that day said, by whose authority, they'll declare it one day. This is the Son of God, for the glory of God. And in every man that the prophet Muhammad and Hare Krishna and all different ones that have lived through the ages and preached this or preached that or espoused this or espoused that, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. This is our King. This is our Lord. This is our ruler. This is the one that we look to for our help and our assistance. We're not part of one that someday other will have to point and say, "Well, actually, he was the Lord of Lords. Ours just was this." We're a part of the one that is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Stand strong in the might that he's delivered. Stand strong in the heritage that's been provided. Passed down by the authority of what he's put in place. He's given us something. Stand in it tonight. Look the enemy in the eye and declare it by the authority of the one that's delivered it to me. You must leave this place. Declare the victory where God has put his hand and said, "I'll care for you in this place." Oh, don't allow the enemy any quarter, any room tonight. Don't leave this camp meeting fighting some of the same battles, but find the place where God is able to provide the victory. Let's turn here to Titus in the second chapter. And the ninth verse says, "Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." The truth of walking a godly life. We preach a godly life and a holy life. But it's by the authority of Christ. to be able to live a life and be redeemed, a peculiar people that's true, comes from His power and His might. It's beyond just knowing Christ, but it's coming and having a relationship with Him and beginning to live a life that He's pleased with. And the power to do that comes from Him. It's these things we're expounded to exhort and rebuke and to lay out. Sometimes you hear things about different standards and things that we need to live by. Understand that the power to do that comes from Christ. But we're exhorted to teach them and exhort them and lay them out and understand what it takes to live in a pure and a holy life. But understand the ability to live that way comes from the power of God. It is Him that is able to redeem us, a peculiar people, pure and holy in this dark world that we live in. Esteemed and lifted up, a light that shines. In the scripture we just read said that every knee and tongue should confess for the glory of God. It's the same place right where this is at. That as we live as light, pure and righteous before Him, the glory then is God's. He's not going to share it with another. He's not going to share it with another name. It's His. It's He that has done the work. It is He that has established it. And it's by Him that we're able to wake every day and face the temptations. It allows us to be able to live to the high standard that He has provided. The way that He has put down. The standard, the understanding of truth that He's given us is something that He enables to live in and out of us every day. Through all that we face. And it doesn't matter the background. I can't stress that enough. I've heard it said a few times. People that I've talked to. It's just not for me. For this reason or that. Because of this that I've had in my life. Or because of this that I've gone through. Or maybe. Well, I'm around and I look like this. But it's just not real. It's just not real for me. There's something greater tonight. There's a power and a capability that God has to come in and fulfill by this authority, by this power, by this capability to enable us to live a life that is pure and right. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians in the second chapter. It says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or the wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Our burden is tonight that your confidence, that your trust stand in the power of God. It doesn't come in the wisdom of men. It doesn't come in even the antidotes of books and this or that. It comes by the truth of His Word and the authority of His Spirit. To come and apply it and to work it in every aspect of your life. Paul was not a man, from what you read, that had a great ability to speak. One place he said his letters were weighty and heavy. But there was an anointing on his life that met the words that he preached. And now his words are even anointed, even down to this time and this day. And if you'll stand on the Word of God and apply its tenets and its truths, then the authority of it is going to stand today in the face of everything that we might come in contact with. Holiness, righteousness, many of these things are under attack, but the power of God is able to withstand today. Closing here, I'd like to read in Acts in the third chapter. And this is my burden. Share this with you. A desire tonight. That some places be broken down. That in places that need strengthened up, be strengthened up. One scripture says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal." But what are they? They're mighty. They're powerful. Through God. To the pulling down of strongholds. You know what a stronghold is? It's something that's existed for a while. It's something that has been set up to defend or to overcome a place. You take a country that's big enough and they'll go build forts and strongholds in certain places to defend and to create something that the enemy or someone can't overcome that place. It takes time to build a stronghold. Tonight the Lord is willing to tear down some strongholds in His power, in His might. Some places that may have existed for a while. Acts in the third chapter here. First verse. Says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And tonight, that's my burden. I don't want to say look on me, but look on us. In other words, look towards the source. Look on us. There was something that he had to deliver here. Look on us. And he gave heed unto them and expecting to receive something of them. He lifted up his eyes and he looked on them. Heeded the word that they were providing to him and expecting to receive something. Tonight, if you don't have faith in the authority and the power of God, it's going to be pretty hard for you to receive something. But look up and expecting something, look to the one who has authority with an expectation.
Yes.
Lord, there's something I need help in this place. There's something that has had power over me, and I want to declare the authority of Christ in this place. Look on us. He told him, he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have to give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaped up and stood and walked and entered them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat at the alms of the beautiful gate at the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Tonight, that's our burden. Look upon Him. Don't look upon me. Look upon Christ. Hold out your hand, seeking and receiving, and He'll reach down and He'll lift you up. He'll restore those legs. It doesn't take some big demonstration or run around the chapel. It's not, how do we fix it? He'll just come in by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth and restore those bones and make them whole. Make them right again. Complete them, and you can leave this place with the victory in your heart, dancing in your soul, leaping and praising God for the victory that He's provided. Then when you go from this place, stand on those things. Stand upon it by the authority of the one that gave it to you. Not from the minister, not from the one that prayed with you, but from the one that provided it. Stand on that authority and go forward. Take up your bed and walk, so to speak, and enjoy the victory and the authority that Christ has delivered to us. Pray for me.